Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, is brought to you by member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, media maven Crystal Jordan is here to chat about her recent appearance on Iyanla Fix My Life. The publicist and author appeared on an episode with three other Atlanta-based African-American women in entertainment who are successful but single.
I was really operating in a deep depression. You know, really just operating through it. And I would put on makeup, make sure my outfit was right, get in the car, get the kids straight. But I was a very broken person to the point where I just kind of learned that became my normal.
Crystal also gives us an update on her progress since taping the show and much more. I also caught up with award-winning global film star Michael B. Jordan to chat about his new action thriller, Without Remorse. The film is based on a 2010 modernized version of the 1993 novel of the same name by author Tom Clancy and has turned Jordan into a bona fide action star.
They call the X-Men and Marvel movies and DC movies and the Bournes and the Mission Impossibles and the Blades and all this stuff that I used to watch. It always just kind of like, oh man, okay, this is like what, you know, action movies are, you know, and taking the best pieces of all those things and wanting to kind of like build my own version of that. And I'm just getting started.
It's also Mother's Day weekend, and I'll be playing some of my favorite Mother's Day classics from Boyz II Men, LL Cool J, The Intruders, and Tupac Shakur. But first, here's an important message from the High Museum of Art.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting an exhibition of the life and legacy of Georgia native David Driscoll now through May 9th, 2021. The exhibition showcases Driscoll's painting and printmaking practices and 60 works of art spanning 7 decades of his career as an artist, curator, and scholar. Time tickets are required. More information is available at high.org.
Mama.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You know, we struggled. I didn't want to struggle, and I grew up with a brother. It was just the two of us and my mom, and I didn't want to recreate that single parent struggling, you know.
What I find very interesting, boss lady, is that as opposed to going for what you want, you went for what you didn't want. I don't want this, so I'm going to do that. I don't want this. Are you clear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because we so often as women, we do that.
Mm-hmm. My mother and my grandmother were both single.
Your grandmother too?
Yes.
And now you too?
Mm-hmm.
You just heard the voice of my first guest, Crystal Jordan, talking to Iyanla Van Zandt during last weekend's episode of Iyanla Fix My Life. The award-winning series featured Crystal along with three of her best friends who are all successful black women thriving in Atlanta's booming entertainment industry, yet they're all single. I caught up with Crystal earlier this week to talk about her experience, her expectations, and some behind-the-scenes exclusives you won't hear anywhere else.
Crystal Jordan, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thank you for having me. This is fun being on this side as a
right. So for my listening audience, Crystal is a fabulous publicist, journalist, media personality. I mean, she does it all. When I think of Atlanta's go-to girls in media and in publicity and entertainment, you are definitely in my top five. And we've known each other for quite some time now. So you know, when I saw the preview at the very beginning of the season for Iyanla and I saw your face, you know, I was on that text, like, yeah. I think I sent you the little eye emoji, like, oh.
You did. I just immediately started laughing because I remember, but right before COVID, a conversation you and I had very much about this topic. And I just started laughing. I was like, yeah, we'll talk about it.
So it was interesting to see that you were on this show. And so you were on last weekend's episode, which was titled Taking Care of Business, Losing in Love. And it really focused on four African-American friends, female friends, that are successful in their careers. From the outside, everything looks perfect. You guys got it going on. I mean, everything is just bam, bam, bam. But when it comes to the love department, you guys are in crisis. And so this was really an opportunity for you to express where you are. How did you get there? As I was telling you offline, I was watching the episode with other friends as we were watching you guys go through what you were going through. So, and I had to come back and watch it again because, you know, with them, it was just like, okay, we semi-watched it. But last night I was able to really go through and really look at some things. And you shared a lot. I mean, knowing you over these years, you're a very, you know, private individual. And as a publicist, you know, we were saying this offline, that's you were able to hide behind that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I coincidentally, I went through ovarian cancer and a divorce all within a year. And that was, I literally started my company, Enchanted Public Relations, after that. And working for other people, pouring into my children and pouring into clients allowed me to really have a safe haven and not deal with the fact that I had just gone through two traumatic events and didn't really know what to do. I'm telling you, I had been married for 11 years with my ex-husband for 13. At 31, I learned that I could potentially die. When the cancer was discovered, it was in stage four. I had to have surgery immediately. So, and then 8 months later, I was, you know, there was an affair and I was going through divorce. So that is a lot to, you know, kind of process. So I didn't. I became a single mom. I started working and I just hid that pain, you know, with work. And so when you said, you know, most people didn't know, I got lots of calls over the weekend. And as you know, in entertainment, it's all very much about, you know, having the right clients and being at the right places. There's no place for you to be crying or not looking pulled together. And I had, you know, pretty high profile clients at the time. So there was no room. And honestly, it helped me to take care of my children and to move forward. Cause I think if I didn't have that, I probably would have been in a deep depression that would not have allowed me to, you know, really achieve. But also as a result, I was really operating in a deep depression. You know, really just operating through it. And I would put on makeup, make sure my outfit was right, get in the car, get the kids straight. But I was a very broken person to the point where I just kind of learned that became my normal.
What made you decide to do this? Because again, you're very private.
Yeah.
This is a very popular show. This is the last season, the last, you know, last of the last episodes. And so everybody has been tuning in. And so did you watch it in real time?
I watched it in real time. But I tell you, I had no intention of ever doing anything like that. I had tried to get into a relationship about 4 years ago just to prove that I could, because I hadn't been in one. And the relationship crashed and burned quickly because my goal was to prove to myself that I could do that. And Miss Shanika, who was one of the ladies on the show, she and I are very good friends. And we went through breakups together. And so we would call and talk to each other and text each other. And I would, you know, I'm trying to be the big sister and encourage her, but I was hurting as well. And she called me one day and she said, "We need help." She said, because I was done. I said, "You know what? I tried it. It doesn't work for me. I'm going to be a successful single woman. I'm going to find a way to be happy by myself." And I really was, you know, I had made peace with that. And she said, "Nope, Crystal, nope. We need to go on the show. We need some help." And so about 2 weeks, we went back and forth talking about it. And I said, "Okay, all right, I'll do it." And then COVID happened. So we thought we kind of got away. And I was like, "Okay, that's good. I didn't really want to do it because I was afraid of, you know, what I would look like." But the producers called back and they were like, "We really want to move forward and we'll make sure everybody is safe." And so that's how it happened. But it really was because of, there was an authentic, genuine sisterhood of, you know what, I need help and so do you. And come on, let's go. And that's how we got to the show.
I just, you know, I never made that correlation. So what I was thinking about is, how do I hold on to my faith? Because that is a big part of who I am, but let go of the fear that's attached to falling, you know, just being human.
I had to let go of religion and find a relationship. Yeah. And it was quite scary because I was raised thinking that I was going to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, so I said, okay, if I'm going to hell, I want to look good. And I went and got my hell dress. And I was ready to go. I'm going. But I did not want to live the rest of my life being afraid of God.
Did you have any expectations? Did you go in kind of thinking, I'll only say this much or I'll only tell that much?
Yes, I'll be honest. I did. And I know the very first scene that they showed, you know, was Miss B telling us, like, this is not going to be for TV, because she did. And she let us know right then, I know you guys have your perfectly rehearsed answers. And I did not, Ray, I did not want to cry. I cried about 85% of the show. I did not want to look weak. I was very concerned about sharing too much of my mother's business, you know, and my family's past. But when you get there, and this sounds cliche, but it's true, it really is therapy, and you can't hide. You know, she has a laser eye to be able to kind of break down, and you get asked certain questions and you're not prepared for it. And so I just went with it, and I just allowed myself to just go with it. But at first, of course, I'm a publicist. I'm always thinking like, okay, Crystal, this is the outline. This is the boundaries that we have, but I wasn't able to stick to them, and I'm glad I didn't.
What did we not see? Because I know with these types of productions, it's just, we just film and then we piece things together. So what did we not see as a viewer?
Well, you know, there's actually a digital clip that I sent you before, because I didn't think it was coming out. And I was actually happy about that, because I felt like, okay, good. I felt like they were very respectful of showing the issues and not really making us look bad from a personal perspective. So I talked very, very candidly, and it didn't make the show, about the fact that I come from generational single women. So my grandmother was single, my mother was single. Being in a relationship was never stressed in my house. And the reason I was happy that wasn't seen is because there's this stereotype, and it's really talked about a lot, of Black women, single Black women raising daughters that aren't fit to be wives, and you get labeled, and it's hurtful, even though we, you know, there's the successful part, but there's also a part that suggests she's too hard, she's too masculine, she's not worthy. So we had a lot of conversations about that. When we first got there, we thought we were there to talk about why the guys in Atlanta were not worthy of us, right? So I'm thinking that we're going there to talk about all the problems, this horrible breakup. So there was a lot of conversation about why I don't, you know, haven't had success. And it flipped into, well, you know, maybe you're the problem. Maybe it's not the guy. So I'm glad that some of that was not shared, because I think people might have focused on that negativity before we got, you know, our healing. But yeah, we definitely, they sat us down and asked us, okay, so why? I'm telling what happened on dates, talking, you know, thinking that the problem was always others, and not realizing that it was a lot that I was projecting myself.
And I have to say, from and let me make sure I'm saying this word correctly, from a producerial, maybe I'm making that up, but from a producer's standpoint, I think it benefits the viewer to be able to see that, because watching the show, and as she was identifying and pulling things out and seeing things, and then when she came to the conclusion that you all were the same woman, as a viewer, I could see that. Yeah. And that was due largely to what was presented, the reactions that we saw as a viewer, and then what was revealed. So they were spot on in terms of being able to tell a story. And I think at the end of the day, that is what benefits you guys. And that also benefits us as the viewer, because we're also learning, you know, as I was talking offline, as you were saying stuff, I'm like, wow, that's me too. So a lot of this does not have a gender attached to it. Hurt is hurt. Yes. Pain is pain. It's not male, female pain. Pain is pain. And so as a viewer, being able to see this story unfold, it just makes me that much more of a fan of her process and the way that she does things, because it all makes sense. And I think at the end of the day, you know, that's what you want.
We'll hear more from Crystal later on in the show. But first, here's a message from the Life Lux Jazz Festival.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Life Lux Jazz Experience, November 4th through the 8th, 2021, in Los Cabos, Mexico. Performers include Eric Roberson, Mesa, Mike Phillips, Hiroshima, and is hosted by Mark Curry. There will also be health and wellness activities and a sunset cruise. Information is available at lifeluxjazz.com.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9 WCLK.
Senior Chief Kelly, it appears you have a common enemy with the United States.
They took everything from me. My family. I got nothing left.
You just heard a snippet from the trailer of Michael B. Jordan's new action thriller, Without Remorse. The film debuted last weekend on Amazon Prime Video and is a reimagined version of the popular Tom Clancy book of the same name. Jordan plays an elite Navy SEAL, John Clark, who uncovers an international conspiracy while seeking justice for the murder of his pregnant wife. I caught up with the global film star as part of a recent AFCA roundtable discussion to chat about the film and much more.
Wanted to, first of all, say an amazing, amazing film. Loved it. And gotta ask you, you did some kick-ass moves, the fighting scenes, the gun scenes, the going into the burning car. How much of that was actually you and how much of that was your stunt double? Did you do a lot of stuff? Because it's a lot of physicality with this particular role.
Yeah, for me, that's one of the things that really drew me to this this project and to this role, was being able to actually like do, you know, all my stunts. And I'll say it's probably about 95%, 96% of me. And we really took the time to train and get comfortable. You know, I had an amazing stunt team that that prepared me to kind of get in those like dangerous situations and felt comfortable that I wouldn't get hurt or burnt up.
What was your favorite scene?
That's tough. I think my favorite scene was probably the underwater sequences, but then it was probably my least favorite scene, like sometimes while we were shooting it, and then it became my favorite again after we got finished it, because it took us so long to shoot those that one action sequence. And like some days I would show up and be like, yo, who wrote this? Who decided we were doing this today? Like this is out of control. I got no goggles on. I can't see anything. And we're underwater. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I got a wetsuit, dry suit on, you know, these boots. It was a lot. But I think just accomplishing that, you know, setting out in the beginning to do something really ambitious. And going through the steps, going through the training, and then actually completing it, I think it was really satisfying. So I think that whole sequence for me was probably my favorite.
Without Remorse is Jordan's most ambitious role to date and has pushed him into the category of action star. Here's what he had to say about taking on that new mantra and his hope for future projects.
I think it's always been like, you know, a desire. Like when I decided that I was gonna take acting seriously, you know, I think when I started out younger, you don't really know where you're going, you know, or what's gonna, you know, how far this is gonna take you. But I think once you know, you're like, this is what I'm gonna do. You start to envision yourself in roles that, you know, that you wanna see yourself play like one day, or movies you wanna be a part of that you like to watch or you would wanna be in. And I think, I mean, maybe like around, you know, I guess I could say like, you know, maybe after Fruitvale, but I probably started daydreaming about it like way before that. But I think, you know, after doing something like Chronicle, you know, was like the first time, like, you know, having some type of powers and, you know, and like the flying and dealing with a lot of green screen and, you know, and rigs and things of that nature, started to understand the mechanics of what goes into a movie like that, you know, and then once you kind of understand, like, oh, okay, cool. And then your imagination starts to run with that. What are the other possibilities? Then you start to see other movies and other things that are out there that inspire you, that might, you know, send you down like, okay, then that'd be cool. And then, you know, think all the X-Men and Marvel movies and DC movies and the Bournes and the Mission Impossibles and the Blades and all this stuff that I used to watch. It always just kind of like, oh man, okay, this is like what, you know, action movies are, you know, and taking the best pieces of all those things and wanting to kind of like build my own version of that. And I'm just getting started, I feel like. So, you know, this is like one for me to, you know, check off some boxes and also like, you know, be a part of a universe that I respect. And now it's like, you know, how do you build from here? How do you take it to the next level? How do you, you know, do something that, you know, people will enjoy and have a lot of fun doing it.
Without Remorse is available now on Amazon Prime Video, and watch the full AFCA roundtable discussion at WCLK.com.
What's happening? This is Aldis Hodge, star of Showtime's City on the Hill, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius on WCOK 91.9, Atlanta's jazz station.
My last segment is the conclusion to my exclusive with Crystal Jordan, as she talks about her recent appearance on Iyanla Fix My Life. Crystal gets candid about lessons learned and where she is now.
What did you learn about yourself that you didn't know before doing this show?
One of the biggest things that I learned, and we touched on that a little bit, you guys saw a little bit of that, is that my religious upbringing caused me to have this, what she called like this God-like, holier than thou, complex, because I was raised in a very religious home. And so anything that you did outside of what the church would approve of, I felt guilty. So I live with a lot of self, even, you know, going through a divorce, you're not supposed to get divorced. You're not supposed to have children. Yeah, I got married and had children very young. All of that was a lot of self-condemnation. And so I was living, you know, under this guise of you have to be perfect. You have to be perfect. I never connected that as, you know, with religion, you know, now that I think about it, I don't know why I didn't. But she pulled that out. And that was one thing about me that was a little different than the other ladies. We all had little niches of things that were different, but it created the same results. But I definitely had this perfection.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Because I'm always able to say things the right way, make things appear the right way. But in the midst of that, it's a lot of beating up on self. And that was coming through, you know, in intimate relationships. I had no clue that that was, you know, one of the sources of some of my pain.
One of the things that was brought up on the show, and I think with all the ladies, was this idea of perfection. And, yeah, you know, we live in a city, I think, that thrives on image. You know, image is everything. I tease people all the time and say, everybody, you know, works out in Atlanta. And I've been told, you know, by some people, you know, if you don't work out, we won't work out. So it's like, you got to be physically fit. Yeah. You know, you got to be dressed to the nines. You got to make sure you get that haircut every week or get your hair done, your nails done every week. This idea of perfection, do you think that you have gotten past having to be picture perfect?
No, I'm still a work in progress. I'm laughing because I think one of the last times I saw you before COVID was in LA Fitness on Camp Creek. We ran into each other briefly, but yeah, I think that's another thing that people have to understand. That was a really intense therapy session. It's an ongoing process. So, you know, I turned off my phone and watched it by myself because I was really concerned about how I was going to look, you know, how it was going to affect, you know, my clients and people that I'm interacting with on business. I still struggle with that, but I'm aware. And when you're aware, you could start to work on it. So, you know, I'm a work in progress, but you know, the answer is no. I see value in understanding that I have so much more to give that has nothing to do with the external. And for a long time, that was the entire focus.
So to every story, there's always an ending. And with your story, it is ending very well because you are now engaged.
I am.
So can you, you know, and again, I saw the photo and I sent you the eyes, the emoji eyes, like, okay. So let's talk about that if you can.
Yeah, it's funny. I was single since the divorce. Cause like I said, I tried a relationship, but it didn't work. And I was really quick to move on. So I got a lot of like, what? Who's Harpo? Who this? On that. And I also took my time with the relationship. It happened really like, you know, when something's in a flow, it just felt natural. I went to the show, did the work, and then realized, okay, Crystal, when I started feeling myself, I met, you know, the guy that I'm engaged to, Adrian, but I felt myself doing some of the same behavior even after going through the show, but I was able to recognize it, stop it, and keep myself from sabotaging another relationship, and what developed was something beautiful. But it literally, there's no magic pill. It really was me realizing, uh-oh, this is how Crystal sabotages things. Let me stop. And then also being very honest with him about all of this. You know, I was able to share my past and he was not judgmental to the situation at all. He was very upfront about, you know, being very interested in a serious way. Like, I want to get married. This is what I want. But he also was very open to me saying, I haven't been in a relationship in a long time. A lot of times you tell guys that and they look at you like, oh, something must be wrong with you. Which it could be, you know, but he was willing to work through that. And so this is the most honest I've ever been in a relationship. On the show, which you guys didn't see, is Miss V talks a lot about my marriage, you know, that was a pretty, you know, long marriage for someone that young. But I always felt like I had to be perfect, even in the marriage. I never was able to be, well, I never allowed myself to be authentically there. I always tried to present this perfect, and that obviously did not work. So I started this relationship out very differently, and there have been very different results, but it's still a work. You know, every day I have to tell, okay, Crystal, nope, that's not the way to go. But being able to talk about it and talk through it means a world of a difference.
Well, Crystal Jordan, thank you so very much for being a guest today on Upfront. And again, I applaud you for being so bold as to be a part of this amazing series. And again, this is Ayanla Fix My Life, the last of the last episodes. But this particular episode, I believe, was very different, I think, from any of the shows that she has done, where it really focused on just taking you from this level to a whole new level and knowing you personally and seeing the end result, I would say that it was definitely the right move for you because now you're engaged and things are moving in a way that that is better for you. So again, thank you so much for being a part of the show and congrats and have a wonderful rest of the year.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to see you, Ray.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Crystal Jordan and Michael B. Jordan. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront. And happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there, especially my mother, Rosa Cobb. You are appreciated.
Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and is recorded from the campus of Clark Atlanta University.